Thank you, Margaret. That's the second time in my life that I have ever really gently felt the whip as it hit the back of my Savior. When you sang that song, I could feel the whip on his back. The first time I ever felt that, and I know Tom and Edith will remember this, was when we were at the area where Jesus was in Jerusalem, there at the fortress of Antonio, where they took him and played games with him and hit him. And there was a little Catholic nun who spoke to us. And to the time, I'll tell you, by the time she got through telling you about what Jesus, the price he paid, you were on shouting ground when that beautiful little nun, I shall never forget her message. She preached a better sermon than I ever heard Billy Graham or any other preacher preach when she told about the suffering of Jesus. And we need to feel from time to time that this is not a game. There wasn't some piece of beef without any feeling in it that was beat on that day in Jerusalem. That was God in the flesh that felt the stripes for you and me. The message today is found in the 16th chapter of John. And we'll begin reading with verse 21. The title of the message is Intercession Cannot Come Without a Message. Intercession cannot come without a message. There are many of God's people, like you in this audience, wonderful people, and this preacher standing here on this stage. There are some things, some very precious things, that I am seeking and you are seeking from Almighty God. You wouldn't be here on Sunday morning in a church like this, where there's nothing to gain. There's nothing for you to gain here materially. We don't have anything that you're going to get out of this place. There's nothing here that will help you on your job or in your business. Whatever you get here is going to have to be a spiritual blessing. And you're here for that. But spiritual blessings do not rain out of the sky without a design and a pattern and a plan. And it is for you and for me to prepare ourselves. We might allow the message to so touch us that God's Son, Jesus, will be able to intercede for us at the right hand of the Father. And that we might receive the gifts that God is so anxiously waiting to hand to you. Spiritual gifts. In this scripture, Jesus gives the message before he falls on his face in the next chapter and prays the intercessory prayer for every one of us. I thank God that if you never pray for me, if I never pray for myself, if there's never a prayer that's said, I've already been prayed for by the Lord Jesus Christ Himself. And that prayer is just waiting to be answered by my and your believing in the Lord Jesus Christ. Thinking about prayer, I picked up this little statement and I thought I would just read it to you before I start the message in John 16. We'll start with verse 21, but let me read this to you first. The benefit of prayer is so great that it cannot be expressed by any human words. Listen to this now. Prayer is the dove which when sent out, returns again, bringing with it God's olive leaf, namely, peace for your heart. Prayer is the golden chain which God holds fast and lets not go until He blesses. Prayer is Moses' rod which brings forth the water of consolation out of the rock of salvation. That's worth saying again. Prayer is Moses' rod which brings forth the water of consolation out of the rock of salvation. Prayer is Samson's jawbone of the ass, which smites out the enemy. Prayer is David's harp, before which the evil spirit must flee away. Prayer is the key to the treasure of heaven. And that's what this message is all about, is getting us ready. Getting us in the mood, if I might use that term, to pray. The prayer that will bring down all we've yearned for and hoped for and not quite been able to receive. Jesus is preaching to His disciples in the 16th chapter of the Gospel of John. And He uses an illustration that is well known to humanity. He says, a woman, when she is in travail, has sorrow. A woman becomes pregnant. Normally 9 months later, suddenly her body begins to be in pain. This means the child is seeking to be born. And it is the timing of the pain that causes her to push, and the child will eventually leave her body. The Bible says a woman, when she is giving birth to a baby, has sorrow. And every one of you women who have given birth to a baby know that that's not the time that you say, ha, 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 this is wonderful. It's the time you scream. It's the time that you have the greatest pain that can be known to human beings. And every one of us sitting here, and me standing here, I am the result of great travail. My mama suffered for me to be born. And Jesus is using that to teach His disciples that to get what there is in heaven, there would be travailing take place on the cross of Calvary. That Jesus would pay the travailing price so you can be born again. Can have birth in the Spirit. Thank God that I don't have to just be born once. Because if I'm born once, I have to die twice. But if I'm born twice, I only have to die once. Let me say that again. Oh, listen. Many people are only born once. They've got to die the spirit, the physical death. Then they've got to die the spiritual death forever. But if you're born twice, if you're born of your mama, then you're born of the Holy Ghost, you only die once. That's physically. Isn't that wonderful? As a woman has sorrow because her hour has come. But as soon as she is delivered of the child, she remembereth no more the anguish for joy that a man or a human being is born into the world. And every time someone makes a confession that Jesus is their Savior, every time someone says, I receive Christ as as my eternal salvation. I receive Him as my Savior. God does not remember the sorrow of His Son, but it was joy. The Bible says Jesus went to the cross for the joy that was waiting Him. Do you know that the day you received Christ as your Savior, that there was rejoicing among the angels in heaven, and that there was joy in the heart of God and in the blessed, sacred heart of Jesus when you received Christ as your Savior? He says, "Now ye therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again." It's the sorrow you're going to feel in some of the things that you're going to give birth to in your life. Good things. You see, some of us have yearned for that growing, to develop, to become spiritually mature. But as soon as we start feeling the first pains of birth, of that spiritual maturity, we pull back and say, "God, stop! Don't let me feel any pain. Stop that pain." That stops the birth of that which God has been trying to do in your life and in my life. Then Jesus, as far as I can tell, if you can find me to be wrong, please show it to me. I just like to know, because this is what I have found. He uses "verily, verily" for the last time. He never says it again after this verse, 23. The word "verily, verily" means of a truth that cannot be undone. A truth that is settled in heaven forever. So the last time He says it's important. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, He will give it you." Someone says, "No, Brother Bill, I've asked for some things in Jesus' name, and my grandma did, and she died, and she never did get it." Well, I don't want to put in disrespect on your grandma, but she didn't ask it in Jesus' name or she'd have got it. This scripture is not wrong. And this scripture needs to be taken seriously. And if I'm not getting the results I'm supposed to be getting, then I'm not asking it in Jesus' name. I'm asking it in the name of somebody else or for some other reason. Because God always honors what we ask in Jesus' name. May I say some things to you that are not pleasant to say to you and myself? At the judgment seat of Christ. And by the way, if you're saved, if you're a Christian, if you're born again, if you go to heaven, I'm going to see you at the judgment seat of Christ. I'm not going to see you at the great white throne judgment. That's for lost people. Sorry, I won't see you. I'm going to be enjoying heaven. But before my heavenly state is finished, I must stand before the judgment seat of Christ for the deeds done in the body. If you've got anything against me and I've got anything against you, just let it alone. It'll be settled at the judgment seat of Christ. That's where we want to settle things. Let it be settled at the judgment seat of Christ. And one of the things that's going to be settled at that judgment seat is some of the things I could have had and a person I could have been, but I, through unbelief and sometimes pure, unadulterated rebellion, refused to let God put me through the fire that would have been the cleansing of my being, so that I might receive the gift that God had in His treasure for me while I was still walking this earth. One of my greatest joys this last month, are you listening carefully? I don't want Satan to interpret this to anyone in this audience. I have found for the first time in my life, I really go around in rose-colored glasses. I am an optimist. I don't want to believe anything bad about anything or anybody. I don't think anybody believes anything bad about me. I just walk around, but oh, every once in a while I get slapped in the head of a two before and find out that it's not true. And I wake up. But I've really found out in the last month what it means to be hated. And it has been the greatest joy I've ever known to genuinely, without any hypocrisy, fall on my face and pray for the people who hate me. And I rise up from that prayer of praying for the person to be blessed that hates me, and that would destroy me, and that would destroy everything else they could, and pray for God to let His grace fall upon them and bless them and fill them with the Holy Ghost and them know all the joys of heaven. And I'm telling you what, there's one lady here I called yesterday because I had to share it with somebody. I had such ecstasy at that prayer, I just almost couldn't stand it. I almost floated. If you want to float, if you want to have some real joy, find out, God forbid, somebody that hates you and that would destroy you, and really genuinely in the Spirit pray for them and see what it'll do for you. It'll bless you. It'll turn you on. You'll be so filled with you'll get filled with the Holy Ghost. You pray for somebody that hates you, as God says to, and see what it'll do for you. It will bless you. It'll be a blessing you will not be able to receive. It'll be so wonderful. Jesus said, "Hitherto ye ask nothing in my name. Ask ye, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." He said, "Hitherto have ye asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy may be full." And then I hurry on down to verse 26. At that day, and that's now, that's today, after He died on the cross and arose from the dead and ascended to the right hand of the Father and sits there as our intercessor. At that day you shall ask in my name, and I say not unto you that I will pray the Father for you. That sounds strange, doesn't it? Well, watch Him explain it. For the Father Himself loveth you, because ye have loved me and have believed that I came out from God. Jesus said, here's how it works at the right hand of the Father. Here's how it works at the throne. Here's God on the throne. I don't have to go to God and say, let me plead the case for so and so. Let me plead it for days and days. I walk to the Father, and all I do is just call your name. And the Father says, I love him. I love her. It's done. It's on the way. It's settled. I love them. Now, do you really? I was talking to the little kids in the lower grades here Friday. And we had a wonderful service here in this auditorium. I love the little old kids. I love to preach to them. They're really precious. And I let them know, and I made them say out loud, God loves me. Would you say it with me? God loves me. Now I love God. But why do I love God? Because I have found out that He loves me. I can't love God until I first accept the fact that He loves me. His disciples said to Him, you're talking plain now. Why hadn't He talked plain before? Because all they could understand was little Bible stories. One of my brothers here in this church, and I agree with him, he says, I get tired of hearing little Bible stories. when the preacher preaches. Well, some folks can't stand anything but little Bible stories. They'll choke on anything else. Well, now Jesus said, I'm getting ready to feed you something that you're going to have to chew on. They said, we're glad to hear you talking to us plain. They said, now we are sure that thou knowest all things, verse 30, and needest not that any man should ask thee. By this we believe thou camest from God. And Jesus asked the question that I will ask to close the message. Jesus asked this question. This is in verse 31. Do you now believe? That's an adverb of time. Do you now believe? Right at this moment, do you really believe Jesus? Not just that He's the Son of God and was virgin born, but do you believe in Him as a person? That He's big enough? That He is loving enough? That He is enduring enough to get you from here to eternity without one missing one heartbeat? Do you believe that? Now? Right now? Not someday in the future when you've outrun the devil to the pearly gates. I got news for you. As you get older, you're going to have a harder time running. So you better quit trying to outrun the devil to the pearly gates, because he never gets old. He's going to be young forever. That's a curse. Think about it. He'll never be anything but young forever. The devil will. And burn all the time while he's young. I don't want that. Oh, my friend, do you now believe? If you now believe, then receive what God has for you right now. Take it. Take it and take it in your heart as a treasure. Because that's the message before the intercession. He's ready to receive for you right now. But do you now believe? Because until you believe, the intercession stops. The moment you believe God and take Him at His word, whatever it may be, the intercession starts flowing like the rock. Gush the water out when Moses hit it with his rod in the wilderness. What is your need right now? What is your greatest need this moment? Please, what is it? Do you now believe that that need will be met? I believe. Only trust Him. If you're here today and you have never confessed Christ as your Savior, now I want to tell you, you don't have to come down here and shake a preacher's hand and do that, but sometimes you need to, but we're going to do the invitation different today. We're going to do it different. You're not going to come down the aisle while we're singing the invitation. We're going to have one course of the invitation. You're going to stay where you are. And then if you want to come and accept Christ, or you want to become a member of the church, there'll be me and some other people here to help you after we have dismissed. We'll be down here at the front waiting. Now, don't you come down here and tell me you want your electric bill paid. I'll do that this afternoon. Now, I'm sorry, but that's what happens. You need your phone bill paid. I know you have all those problems. I'm talking about spiritual things. You need to get your spiritual things straight. Then we'll talk about those other things. Okay? Is that plain? I'm here to help you spiritually. Let's get that settled. Then we'll talk about those other things later on as we stand.